get saved, you don't know how to lean on Jesus when you get saved. But you learn, amen, if you'll stay faithful. Ephesians chapter 1 tonight, please. Ephesians, there, the epistle of Paul, the apostle, amen, to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians, would you stand with me, please, one last time as I read, beginning in verse 1. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of saints in Denton that you can't say they're faithful. So the Bible, this particular epistle is written not just to the saints, but those who are faithful. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all heavenly blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings, excuse me, in heavenly places in Christ. When it says all spiritual blessings, folks, that means everything that God has to give us has already been given to us. Now, you need to let that sink in for a minute, but let's read verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, who are us again? The saints, the saved, the faithful, they're blessed with all spiritual blessings. There's nothing that God has not given you or did not give you when you got saved. You don't have to pray for a second blessing or some kind of further feeling. It's all there in Jesus Christ. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Without blame before him, folks. Before who? Before God. Don't worry what the world blames you of. The world's going to blame you of a lot of foolishness because their standards are completely cockeyed and out of whack compared to the Bible. They're going to blame you for things that aren't true in God's eyes. We're going to be holy and blameless without blame before God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, that's a mouthful right there. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That does not mean that some can get saved and some can't. All that means is God already knew who would get saved, and he already chose you and predestinated you, and he already did it all because he knew you would get saved.
Right.
It doesn't mean that there's not some who can't get saved. God just knows who will and who won't.
Right.
We don't. That's why we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. There's a ton of preaching and wonderful truth in those verses, but I want you to look again, verse 6, to the praise, look, the glory of his grace. I want to preach to you on the glory of God's grace tonight. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I have so much I want to say, and I pray you'd help me to say what needs to be said in the right spirit, and Lord God, with your Holy Spirit controlling my heart, my mind, my thoughts. Lord, I pray for a fresh anointing here tonight, both for the preacher and for the listener here. I pray if there be one soul here tonight that is without Jesus Christ, Lord, help them to realize that they are without God. They are without God. They are aliens to God. They're without hope. They're without Jesus in this world, alone, in darkness, already condemned to die in a sinner's, a devil's hell. But Lord, I pray you'd speak to their heart tonight. I pray for those of us who are saved, Lord God, may we just simply rejoice and praise you for the glory of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All glory, all honor, and all praise belong to God. Amen. For his unsearchable grace. All praise and adoration belong to the King of glory for his matchless and infinite gift of grace. If I had one message that I only had one message that I could preach, it would be a message about the grace of God. If I had one song that I could sing, it would be a song about the grace of God. If I only had one story I could ever tell again, it would be the old story of the grace of God. If I only had one word I could ever speak again, it would be this one word, grace. The grace of God, dearly beloved, is undeserved gift of God. It's undeserved compassion. It's undeserved mercy. It's undeserved goodness. It's undeserved tenderness. It's undeserved kindness. It's undeserved love from Almighty God to undeserving sinners like you and me. The grace of God is the only power, dearly beloved, that can overcome sin. I don't think we really grasp that, what I just said. It's the only power. We talk about the blood of Jesus, and we'll get to that in a minute. And we talk about the cross of Calvary, and we'll get to that in a minute. And we talk about the resurrection power, and we'll get to that in a minute. We talk about the Word of God, we'll get to that in a minute. We talk about Jesus Christ Himself, we'll get to Him in a minute. Amen. But the grace of God defines every bit of that. The grace of God is the underlying reason and motive for all of that. The grace of everlasting Almighty God. Except for the grace of God, sin, think about this, sin would have free and full reign in this world. Look, hold your place here. Look over in Romans chapter 5. Let me read this verse to you real quick. We'll be back. Romans chapter 5. We're going to use our Bibles tonight, so I hope you brought it. I hope your fingers are limbered up. But look in Romans chapter 5, verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You dearly beloved, grace, the grace of God is the only power that can overpower sin. The grace of God is the only power in this world that can overthrow the reign of sin in your heart, in this world, in anyone's heart for that matter. The only power that can overthrow the reign, the conquering reign of sin, is the grace of God. It was God's grace that covered Adam and Eve's nakedness in the Garden of Eden with the skin of an animal. I believe it was the skin of a lamb. It was God's grace that instructed Noah how to build an ark of salvation for his family. It was God's grace that rescued his own people out of Egyptian bondage and slavery, and then part of the Red Sea for them. It was God's grace that brought down the walls of Jericho. It was God's grace that shut the lion's mouths and gave Daniel a peaceful night's sleep. It was God's grace that gave David the head of Goliath on a platter, so to speak. It was God's grace that hung Absalom in a tree. It was God's grace that sent Jesus to the manger. It was God's grace that hung Jesus on a tree. And it was God's grace that raised him to life after 3 days. And dearly beloved, it was God's grace that bought my liberty on May 13th, 2004. How do I know God's grace did all those things? Because folks, none of those things I just mentioned were earned. Nobody deserved any of those things I just mentioned, especially me. When's the last time you really stopped and pondered and meditated on what God's done for you? I want you, just by way of introduction, grace begins with faith in Jesus Christ. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1 there. Verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. John 1:17 says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Look in chapter 2 of Ephesians verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Verse 8 in chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of works. There's absolutely no work you could ever do to earn eternal life. There's no grace. There's nothing you could ever do to overpower or be more efficient and efficacious than the grace of God. There's no work in the world. Look in chapter 3, verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the grace of God. The gift of the grace of God. It's a gift, folks. Man, the hearts of our world are so hard. I'm never going to get through this message, but folks, we need revival. I've been, I, I, I have been, I, the things that I just said about the grace of God should have stirred all of us, and you're just sitting there like a bump on a log. Our hearts are hard. I'm talking about the free gift of the grace of God, and you're just barely listening to me. Chapter 3, verse 7 says, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God. The problem is, this thing is just old. It's just old hat. We already know all this. We already got this down. We know about grace. Come on, let's move on to something else. Let's move on to something new. There's nothing new, folks. If you can't get stirred up a little bit about the grace of God, you don't need something new. You need to get back to something old. Verse 8 says, unto me, Paul speaking there, who am less than the least of all saints. That's the reason we don't appreciate this grace, because we don't see ourselves like that. We think, well, there's a whole lot worse saved people than I am. There's a whole lot worse Christians than I am. What gives you that impression? Again, what makes you think that has anything to do with it? That has nothing to do with it. Your goodness, your kindness, your whatever, benevolence, your love, your mercy, your compassion is nothing. It is absolute filthy rags. As is mine. The reason that grace is kind of old hat to us is because we've forgotten how we are the less than the least of all saints. And I preach to myself. The reason that the Apostle Paul kept on and on and on about the grace of God is because he knew I'm less than the least of all saints. I mean, we're talking about an apostle here. We're talking about the same man who wrote to Timothy and said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he says, oh, by the way, of whom I am chief.
Yeah, come on.
Why do you think God used this man so much? To write 13 epistles in the Bible. Why do you think God used this man to start so many churches? We can't even count them. Churches are still getting started that are going on Paul's record. Amen. This one included. Amen. Why do you think God would do something like that through a man? Because he understood the grace of God. Unto me who am less than the least. Right now in your mind, who do you think's the least of all the saints? You're less.
Amen.
I'm in church. I mean, I'm a soul winner. I'm dressed for church. Nothing that we have or nothing that we can boast about is none of it goes to our credit. None of it. God help us tonight. 1 Corinthians 4, 7 says it like this. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Well, I'm in church, preacher. I don't live like I used to. Yeah, but only because God's grace changed you. Only because God's grace taught you not to do that. Only because God's grace gave you a new heart. Only because God's grace changed your eternal destiny. Only because God's grace cleansed you from all sin. It ain't because you're so wonderful. And that's our whole problem. unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given? There's a man who understood what he deserved. Grace begins with Jesus Christ. Grace begins with faith in Jesus Christ. It's nothing to do with you. It's nothing to do with me. Can I say to you, just in by way of introduction again, another thought here is that grace begins with Jesus Christ, but grace never bows out in our time of need. Verse 8 says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ, the unsearchable grace of God, the unsearchable riches of God's grace in Christ Jesus, and to make all men, verse 9, see what is the fellowship of the mystery. How are you going to make men see the mystery of the gospel? How are you going to make men see the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ? How are you going to make someone else see that? How are you going to make someone else believe that? Not by your own power, not in your own strength. God's going to put you through fiery trials. God's going to put you through furnaces of fiery trials. And you're going to have to stand by the grace of God so that Nebuchadnezzar and all of his crowd can look into that furnace and say, look, Jesus Christ is there with them. I'm simply saying to you tonight, dearly beloved, that the grace of God never bows out in our time of need, but oh, how often we bow out on the grace of God. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. But I would rather die in a fiery furnace that the grace of God put me in. I would rather die. I would rather be burned alive. I would rather be buried alive than to disgrace my Savior and bow out on His grace and turn my back on His grace and disgrace His name and send thousands of souls to hell. Because in death, Jesus Christ can still be exalted. The Bible says that He being dead yet speaketh. And folks, dearly beloved, listen to me tonight. My heart is heavy because our hearts are so hard. All of us. We put on our garments of righteousness and we forget about the grace of God. God's grace doesn't bow out on you. How in the world is a man like this going to make people, all men, see the fellowship of the mystery? How's it going to make people see that God created all things in and through and by Jesus Christ? Amen. I know how He feels. I know how He feels. But I thank God that His grace never bows out in my time of need. It never quits on me. It never subsides. It never runs dry. It's a well, amen, a bottomless well. It never reaches its limit. God's grace is even, actually the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12 that God's grace is made perfect in our weakness. God's strength and His grace in our deepest, darkest trials and tribulations, when all we can think about is turning our back on His grace is increased more than ever in our lives. The only hope that we have is the grace of God. The only hope that we have, the only rock, the only anchor, the only strength that we have is the grace of God. And it never bows out on us in our time of need. Never. God's grace is just as faithful as God is. Amen. Hebrews 4:16 says it like this, let us therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You understand, it never says you have to wait in line. It never says you have to be put on hold. It never says that you may not find any when you go there. It never says that there may not be any there and they may be out of stock. It never says it may be on back order. When you go to the throne of grace, you will find help in time of need. It never fails. Never fails. We're more impressed with our own good works, though. We're more impressed with our own wisdom and all the things that we've learned in our Christian life. We're more impressed with that than we are with the grace of God. We're more impressed with how we've learned to tie the tie and we memorize the verses and we know where to find them in the Bible and we know how to get to church on time and we know how to dress for church and we know how to sing a song and open our mouth. We know we've learned to do all of those things. We're more impressed with that than we are with the grace of God that never bows out on us. He's pulled us through so many storms. He's brought us through so many fires. You understand, I know Daniel went down into the lion's den and slept all night there, but you understand, listen to me, folks. Let me put this into perspective for you. Every night you lay down your head on your pillow, you're sleeping among lions. Yeah. Have you looked out there lately? Have you seen what's going on out there lately? Lions would be a welcome relief to some of that mess out there. Every time you lay your head down on your pillow at night and you sleep all night and nothing happens to you and you wake up rested, you've just slept among lions. Well, we don't think about that. I've got my doors locked. I've got my alarm set. And we don't even think about the grace of God. But it never bows out. The Holy One of Israel, He doesn't sleep nor even slumber. And all night long we can lay there peacefully and rest our bodies. He giveth His beloved rest. That's grace. But instead our hearts are hard. And we're impressed with how much we've earned and the castles that we've built. Go back to chapter 1 there where we started tonight. I want you to look here at just a couple thoughts on the riches of God's grace. I don't even know if I can. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. The glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. You wouldn't even be accepted. We wouldn't even be accepted. We wouldn't even be accepted among the beloved of Christ. I mean, that's a very elite group, you understand. But we don't understand it. He hath made us accepted. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. There's nothing we did, folks. Nothing we did. He not only blessed us, but He blessed us with all spiritual blessings He, verse 4, he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He knew we were going to, he did it, folks. He's the one that made it all happen, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That doesn't mean, listen to me, that doesn't mean that you can earn that holiness and you can earn that blameless life. It's all in God's grace. Are you listening to me? Please don't misunderstand. You could never be holy and without blame. We could never be holy and without blame. It's only by the grace of God. It's only in Jesus Christ. There is no way in this world that filthy, ungodly, unrighteous sinners could be holy and without blame before God. Are you kidding me? But we don't understand. We've forgotten about how grace, glorious this grace is. We look at ourselves. And we say, look, I've lived all day long and I've done nothing to disgrace my Savior, and thank God for it, but that's not what got you here. That's not what's going to get you anywhere. That's not what you should be glorying in. You should not be glorying in your own goodness. We should never glory in our own goodness, but all in all, the glory of the grace of God. I'm brokenhearted tonight, and I hope that you'll bear with me. Turn to Psalm 24, please. Psalm 24. Bear with me, like the Apostle Paul said. Bear with me in my... I'm jealous over you tonight as the flock of God. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's. The fullness thereof. The world and you and me. They that dwell therein. It's the Lord's. You understand? He could do whatever he wants to do with us. He still can. He could, but because we're in his world. It is his earth. It's his world. He's the owner. We belong to, we're part of that world that he created. We don't have any control over what he is doing. We cannot ever control what he has done or is doing. It's all by his grace. Verse 2, he hath founded it upon the seas. He did it, folks. I mean, I'm not time to go to Job, and let me. I want you to walk out there, and make it rain for me. Go ahead. Walk out there and make the sun rise in the morning. Go ahead. He hath founded it upon the seas. He hath established it upon the floods. Verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Let me just answer that question for you. None of us. None of us. What do you mean, preacher? I'm saved. Look at verse 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. We're all done for. We're all done for. We're all done. That's it. We're done. We don't qualify. Not on your best day. Not even close. We don't qualify. Look, it goes on to say in verse 4, he that hath clean hands, a pure heart, hath not lifted up his soul into vanity. Oh, it just gets worse. Not a prideful thought ever. Really. Sorry, but I don't have to look far to see that we're all doomed. Nor sworn deceitfully. Never told a lie. Never told a lie. See, I mean, we're done, folks. We are doomed. We're done. There's no hope for us. And by the way, there is no hope for us outside of the grace of... That's the whole point of the message tonight.
Amen. Amen.
He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he, verse 5, shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Wait a minute. We just read about that blessing in Ephesians 1. And if you're not careful, in your human, sinful heart, you're going to read that and you're going to think, wow, that's right. Tomorrow I'm going to have a clean hands and a pure heart. I'm not going to be prideful. I'm not going to swear. Listen, you're missing the entire picture. You're missing the whole message. This is Jesus. This is Jesus and Him alone. And you're never going to be like that. We're never going to achieve that level. Pure heart, clean hands, no pride, no lies. You and me are done for. He, verse 5, shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. We're done for. But listen to me. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, the grace of God extended to us in Christ Jesus allows us to ascend into the hill of the Lord, to stand in His holy place. Folks, listen to me. The only way to receive the blessing from the Lord, which, by the way, that's a gift. That's a gift of His grace. The blessing from the Lord, righteousness from God. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Let me just add a little bit of in there. I'm not changing the Bible, but we that know no righteousness might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We are not righteous. There is none righteous. There is none that doeth good. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none righteous. No, not one. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God, and were it not for the grace of God poured out in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we were all doomed. We would all be completely and eternally doomed. But when Christ Jesus lived a 33 and a half year life with clean hands and a pure heart, and when He did not lift up His soul not once unto vanity, nor did He swear once deceitfully, and then He died. He died in our place, our substitute, the Lamb, the sacrificial substitute Lamb that died for our sins. How can we glory in ourselves? How can we glory in ourselves? But we do. If the proof that we do, dearly beloved, the proof that we glory in ourselves and not in this grace like we should, again, it's the hardness of our hearts, the indifference, the apathetic indifference, the lukewarm spirit that takes over. in Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. Verse 5. Exodus 6, verse 5. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I've remembered my covenant. Now hold on a minute. I know that's talking about Israel, but let's make that real here tonight. Don't you remember the days of groaning before you got saved? Don't you remember the days of bondage where you knew you couldn't change anything in your life and you were bound like a prisoner? Don't you remember the days where you groaned for help? You groaned for somebody to help me. God says, I heard those groanings. God says, I know that you're in bondage in this world of sin. Verse 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out. We glory in our righteous garments. We glory in our good deeds. We glory in what we don't do anymore. I don't drink anymore. I don't smoke anymore. I don't do drugs anymore. I don't run with those that do. And we glory in that. And God sees vanity, pride, and he sees us glorying in our good works and forgetting that he's the one that brought us out. When he heard our groanings, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. By the way, let me just throw that in there. I'm the Lord, he says, not you. I'm the Lord, and I will bring you. The earth is the Lord's, not yours. Amen. My hands are clean, not yours. My heart's pure, not yours. I'm the Lord, he said. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. All praise be to the glory of the grace of God, dearly beloved. He did it all. He did it all. He deserves all glory. Oh, dearly beloved, read that verse 6 again. Look at it with me again. I can't move too fast here. He says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I'm the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens. Do you remember those burdens? Do you remember those burdens? You know, even after you get saved, burdens are still there. And here's what we try to do. We say, okay, Lord, you saved me, but I got it from here. You saved me, I know I'm saved, okay. Thank you, Lord, I'll take over. And the grace that saved you, the grace that brought you out of Egypt, and the grace that delivered you from that bondage and brought you out from under the burden of sin and hell is not enough to bring you out of the burdens you're under right now. Because we glory in our righteousness, which, by the way, we don't have any. He says, I will redeem you. Amen. Look at verse 6. With a stretched out arm. Oh, I love that. Oh, there's so much on my heart. Y'all bear with me. Look in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. verse 3. Exodus 12, verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. So we got a lamb right there. If the house will be too little for the lamb, okay, the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Verse 5 says, your lamb. Your lamb. This has got to be a personal lamb. Let's read on here. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from sheep or without. Now again, without blemish, clean hands, pure heart, not lifted up into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Without blemish, folks, means without blemish, without spots, perfect. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Hey, what did that lamb do? What did that lamb do to deserve that? What did he do? I mean, he's without blemish. What did he do? To kill it in the evening. Verse 7, they shall take of the blood, strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, bitter herbs, folks. They shall eat it. Eat not of it raw or sodden, all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and the pertinence thereof. Ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. The Lamb of God died, folks, was buried. What did he do? What did that little lamb do to deserve that? Verse 11 says, thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, I, God says, will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I'll execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood, verse 13, shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, oh, hallelujah. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Amen. How did he deliver them out of Egypt, folks? How did he redeem them out of Egypt? Folks, he used a lamb.
Right.
It started off with a lamb. And then it became the lamb because it couldn't just be any old lamb. Then it had to become your lamb. The redemption of God, the grace of God is a personal gift of God for sinners like you and me. What did these Israelites, what did they do to deserve God's deliverance like this? And then what did that poor little lamb do to deserve them killing him and shedding his blood? And nothing, he did nothing. This is what God designed, dearly beloved, to redeem his people out of their groanings and their burdens and their heartaches and their suffering and their struggles and their afflictions and their heartaches and trials. He said, I will deliver you. I am the Lord.
Amen.
We don't glory in that. Things get a little bit hard. Life gets a little bit difficult. And we want to bow out on the grace of God, and we want to say, well, I think maybe I can find a better way. Verse 29 says, it came to pass. And by the way, it will come to pass.
Yeah.
It will come to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. Look now in verse 30. There was a great cry in Egypt. There was not, the Bible says, there was not a house where there was not one dead. How'd they get out of that? How are we going to escape the wrath of God? How are we going to escape the judgment of God on this world? It's not because of our good deeds. It's not because of our clean hands. It's not because of our pure heart. It's by, only through the blood of that perfect lamb. That lamb that God told them to slay. That lamb who shed his blood, who did nothing to deserve that. Innocent, without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. But that perfect, pure, poor little lamb laid down his life on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood to redeem our worthless souls from bondage and burdens and heartbreaks. Jesus said, the Spirit of God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted. And to deliver the captives. Folks, listen, we're captive. We were in Egypt. We were in bondage. And we groaned every time we laid our head on the pillow at night. God's grace. The riches of God's grace. The purchase of redemption. The pardon of sin. But it was the price of the blood.
Yeah.
Not your good works. Not your education. Not your hard work.
Yes. Amen.
Not your money.
Amen.
Not your upbringing. Not your background. Not your good heritage, not your good parents. No, none of that, folks. None of that. The price, the only price, was the blood of the Lamb. God's grace. John 1:17 said, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And by grace, if you're saved here tonight, you're saved by grace. Through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. I mean, this little lamb here in Exodus 12, where'd he come from? Who made him? The earth is the Lord's. The fullness thereof. Where'd that little lamb come from? Where'd that blood come from in that lamb? Where'd that idea come from? Folks, all glory, all honor, all praise, all credit, all of it goes to God. The glory of His grace. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray You'd help us tonight. Oh, Lord, our hearts are so deceitful, so puffed up, so filled with vanity, pride.